Today, we'd like to see the title of Every Thought to the Obedience of Christ in the 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1-28. To another word of souls through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does it mean, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 2, in verse 12, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who command themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. What does it mean, and how can you apply it to our lives? Question 3, in verse 17, but he who glories, letting glory in the Lord. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? In the last time, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts. Paul exhorted the Christians at Corinth to be ready to donate to the Lord for the poor saints at Jerusalem according to their only desire. Then Paul closes it off by giving thanks to God for his unspeakable gifts, which is really the motive for donation or giving to God. They are the gift of his Son, the gift of gospel, which cost Jesus' life with blood for our sins, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, joy, peace, mercy, love, and so on. God has given so much. All that I have is his. Lord, we've only given back what is really yours anyhow, for your glory, your kingdom, your righteousness, or your increase. Through chapters 10 through 13, Paul convinced his authority to its questioners at the church at Corinth. Since all authority has given to Jesus in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me. In the heavens and on earth, the ministries within the scope of Jesus' authority are valid, otherwise those are invalid. Practically any ministry within the scope of the scripture is valid because the scripture testifies of Jesus in John 15:39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, testify of Jesus. So any human words or deeds within the scope of the scripture is valid, but those outside of the scope of that is equal to, above or against the scripture, are invalid. For example, Judas Iscariot was appointed an apostle, Matthew 10:2-4. The 12 apostles are these, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. But his words and deeds outside of the scope were invalid. Nobody is authorized to alter the scripture at all, but the Spirit of truth teaches all the scripture which testifies of Jesus. John 14:26, he shall teach you all things. Then verse 1, now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold to you. Paul is convincing you with Christ's meekness and gentleness. When he is there, he is humble or lowly to minister or to serve you, not to be served by you. But when he is not there, he is bold or very firm to you who have problems. Here, opponents question, questionings Paul's authority in the context. Verse 2, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intended to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh or after flesh. I ask strongly you that when I am there, I may not be bold or very firm to you, as if I may be bold or very firm to those who think we walk, live, minister after the flesh rather than after the spirit. For example, Paul was bold or very firm to exercise the miracle, a gift of the spirit, to make a false prophet by Jesus blind, because he interfered with Paul's teaching, the doctrine of the Lord, to Sergius Paulus, the deputy of the country. Cross reference right there. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Even if we live in the flesh or physical body, we or the living souls war against the evil spirit, or their head, Satan, in the spirit, realm. Not against flesh and blood. When we get entangled in the flesh or in the fleshly conflict, Satan has an advantage to war to the spirit. We have a definite, but we confine the war to the spirit. We have a definite advantage over Satan because Jesus got a victory over Satan through his resurrection from death. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty weapons in God, or the spiritual weapons, such as the faith, the spirit, the word of God, and prayer, and so on. In order to pull down strongholds of opponents who are influenced, polluted, or ruled ultimately by Satan in this world. Cross reference right there. First 5, casting down, question 1, arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Any arguments or thoughts against the knowledge of God or the words of God should be cast down and be brought into captivity to obey Christ with the spiritual weapons. Today, the thoughts and imaginations of a human heart are exalted against the words of God and are evil continually. There are all kinds of opportunities to pollute your mind into a spiritual adultery by so many peddling the words of God. God doesn't tempt the people with evil, but God has given us the victory with the spiritual weapons, not our own human weapons, the cross reference right there. Verse 6, and being ready to punish or disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. All disobedient people will be punished or rebuked by Paul when he gets there. And then you are fully obedient. Right here, the ministry's six elements, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2. Verse 7, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Don't consider people after the outward appearance or partiality, such as height, handsomeness, wealth, race, and so on, but consider whether or not anyone belongs to Christ, that is he or she or creature. So we consider his or her virtues in terms of scripture. For example, in Paul's footstep tour and evangelism, we could minister together because of Christians, even if we did not see each other previously. James 2, verse 1. Verse 8. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification, and not for your destruction, I shall not ashamed. Paul said, I as an apostle was given the authority by the Lord to edify you to the body of Christ, not to tear you down. An apostle is a gift of the Spirit, such as a prophet, evangelist, or pastor and teacher. Somewhat you may feel my boasting too much about the given authority to you, but I will not be ashamed of exercising my authority. Verse 9, lest I shame to terrify you by letters. Because Paul first delivered the gospel of Christ to you with other co-ministers, you might feel our overreaching beyond our given authority. But we are not so, because we first preached the gospel to you, the lost, and we are not terrifying you by letters, but are edifying you to the body of Christ, or help you to grow. See verse 14. Verse 10, for his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his body, the presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Opponents said Paul's letters were sincere in the sight of God in Christ and were powerful or workable in real life, but the outward appearance of his physical body was weak, and he was not eloquent speaker, like Moses' slow speaker or Jeremiah minor or poor speaker. For his glory, God used the weak to shame the mighty. For example, sadly, some of us are disinterested in how many times we apply the word of God to daily life. But lovers tell how many times we read the Bible without manifestation of the read words of God to daily life. That's a quote reference right there. Verse 11, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we also be indeed when we are present. When we get there, such an opponent will experience what we are weighty and powerful indeed, rather than now in word by letter, far from Corinth. Verse 12, question to you. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who command themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Other false teachers were trying to prove their better righteousness by comparing themselves with others as two men, rather than with the Scripture, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, as to the Lord. After Jesus' death, we bloodshed for our sins, resurrection and ascension, the Holy Spirit came and dwells into every believer to know the righteousness of Jesus, who is imputed to each, only through each faith in Jesus Christ by His grace. Any human righteousness, even the scribes and Pharisees, is a filthy rag. Cross reference right there. Verse 13, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere, which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. Paul has boasted his works within the scope of the authority given by the Lord, because all authority is to Jesus. Paul will not boast his works in you beyond the given authority. Verse 14, for we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Because of Paul first taught the word of God in the gospel of Christ to you with other co-ministers during 1.5 years. You might feel our overreaching beyond our given authority. Paul did not want to build where Christ was already named, but desired to teach the word of God in gospel and in scripture to the lost, to the end of the world. Verse 15. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. We do not boast about what other people have ministered, but our sphere, or the boundaries of our ministry, will be extended to increase your faith. That is to teach the whole counsel of God, because the faith comes from hearing of the word of God in the scripture. Verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. We are teaching the word of God in the gospel to the untouched region up to the ends of the world. In the regions beyond you, and if God wills, we are teaching the word of God in all scripture to make disciples there to all the nations. So it is not to boast about another man's settled ministries. That's just a cross-reference right there. Verse 17, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. If you want to glory or boast only about the Lord, what does it mean? We are boasting about God's works in the ministry, life, mission, or church. For God, God's glory, God's kingdom, God's righteousness, or God's increase. So, we are not boasting or glorying about our wisdom, mighty, or riches to be perishable, but about the knowledge of God, His loving kindness, judgment, and the righteousness to be imperishable. So, our using perishable things in imperishable ways on the earth is wise. Verse 18, for not he who commands himself is approved, but whom the Lord commands. When he does something well, he tells others, and he is recognized by others, so that he differs from others, draws attention from others, or is proud. Why do you boast as if you had not received it from God? So we are doing heartily as the Lord, not to man, seeking the commendation of our Lord, not of man. Cross reference right there. So we covered all three questions. So we see that he's page 6, European Union missions, whenever Lord leads, so we'll do it. So that's one. Also pray for abandoned children in Ukraine and his inquiries. So Calvary and I'm Hill's missions area, continue to keep on prayer for missionaries and for Christians of all the earth. Delivery of the word of God in gospel and in all scriptures right there. So the last part, we have been volitionally, joyfully and thankfully praying, following his continual direction until our Lord comes again. That's our privilege and our blessing. Please pray for through our love for each other as long as with the body of Christ on the earth are not against the principles of doctrine of Christ. So also keep on prayer for Philippines ministry and for pastoral training of Asia ministry at Dumaguete, you know, islands. So keep on praying there. Pray for the feeding people from Stop